Is the Assembly now ready to adopt the resolution as read out? I see no objection. The resolution, including the amendments contained in document A77/A/conf.14, is adopted.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back to the Corbett Report. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. You're tuned into Solutions Watch, and it is June of 2024. And as I am sure my well-informed audience is aware, we have just seen the 77th World Health Assembly take place in Geneva. And the question may be, what happened there exactly? And if that is your question, well, the first thing I'll direct your attention to is the actual documents of what was actually gaveled down during that World Health Assembly. And so I will put the link up to the WHO website where they have all of the main documents so you can actually read them for yourself, which may be worth your time and attention if you are interested at all in actually understanding this issue. But after doing that, I will direct your attention also to the amendments to the IHR have been adopted. One of the most recent articles posted up to the James Roguski Substack. You will remember James Roguski. We've had him on a few times in the past couple of years talking about the build-up to this World Health Assembly and the pandemic agreement and the IHR amendments and all of that. So let's get the update. Jim, thank you very much for coming on.
Well, you know, thanks for having me. And if there's anybody on the planet who wants to get out of the WHO and on with the new, it's certainly me. But, you know, they pulled off a last-minute victory, if you will. I will tell you a little story that I haven't had a chance to tell you, but well over a month ago, I started hearing people talking about victory over the WHO. And I don't know where they were getting those ideas, but I spent a good couple of hours entertaining myself on YouTube watching sports events where at the very last minute, you know, someone headed towards the finish line started celebrating only to have another runner or, you know, motorcycle or car, you know, pass them right at the finish line. You know, a football player running for a touchdown and they start celebrating on the 10-yard line. They get tackled, they fumble, and it's a shocker. But in essence, that's what happened. The WHO was having great difficulty in both tracks, both in the amendments to the regulations and in the other track, the new pandemic agreement. And so it looked like, you know, they were going to fail, and they certainly did fail to meet their legally obligatory deadlines. They should have had a final version of the amendments back in January. And then they had a meeting in March and April and May and, you know, even the week before. But what they decided to do on Tuesday, the 28th, is they said, well, we're all going to get together and we're going to meet till 2, 3, 4 in the morning. And on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday and into Saturday morning and all day Saturday, they cobbled together an agreement. And late in the evening, after, you know, everybody went home from the rallies that were in Geneva, they adopted amendments to the international health regulations. And so I've learned my lesson. You don't count your chickens before they hatch. You don't celebrate until you're in the end zone. After you've crossed the finish line, you can claim victory. But they snatched this one. You know, they snatched victory from the hands of defeat, and they adopted amendments to the international health regulations. We can talk about as much of the details as you like. But, you know, the big question is, well, now what do we do?
Mm. Absolutely. Well, that is obviously the question that I'm concerned with here in Solutions Watch. But before we get into that, let's take a look at it. As I say, I'll link up this document in particular for people who haven't read it yet, A77/A/conf.14, blah, 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 which is the International Health Regulations 2005 as amended. And it has all of the details of all of the bolded sections that have been added or inserted or struck out or what have you. So there it is. Those are the actual amendments that they actually adopted. Well, that they are tabling, which now there's the process of countries having the right to reserve against them by the WHO's own rules for 10 months or is it 18 months? Depends who you ask and in what context. Anyway, details, schmetails. Just going through this document, I have gone through it myself. I haven't read it with the fine-tooth comb, but I have gone over sort of the major points of it. But what jumps out at you from these amendments?
Well, I'm old school, right? So I print it out on paper. Makes it a lot easier. And while I have gone through it with a pretty finely toothed comb, there's still another pass to go through because I've recognized that in their rush to adopt this, there are large segments that should be in bold, but they're not. So the quick glance of the document, you go looking for, well, what is changed and what is different? So if I had to pick one, I would say Article 44 BIS on page 30, which is a brandy new amendment, but they conveniently did not put it in bold type. Yeah. And I have to admit,
I noticed that through, actually. I thought about that. I thought, oh, is this? So I actually went to the old 2005 document to look it up, and yeah, it's not there. So this is new, but it's not in bold. What's going on?
Yeah, and, you know, minor detail. Paragraph one: a coordinating financial mechanism is hereby established. And so this is really the core of this money game. I'll just read section B, that they would seek to maximize the availability of financing for the implementation needs and priorities of states' parties, in particular of developing countries. And I really just want to read one thing from this document. We could spend hours and days on this, but the core, I think, is the definition of relevant health products. What this agreement really is a diversion of as much money as they can possibly divert. They're very vague on that. There's no actual numbers. They want wealthy nations and organizations to put money into their mechanism to build out big pharma in developing countries. That's always been what these negotiations have been about. They want equity, and equity really means money. And what is it that they want that equity for? Well, relevant health products include, I'll just give you the short list, medicines or pharmaceuticals, vaccines, diagnostics, and then at the last minute, different from the previous versions, cell and gene-based therapies and other health technologies. So essentially what they want to do is take money from wealthy nations and organizations, funnel it through their financial mechanism to build out big pharma around the world in nations that, given their limited financial resources, probably have other priorities like clean water and, you know, good healthy food and general nutrition. No. We want more mRNA manufacturing plants around the world to build more of the products that did not solve, you know, whatever it was that was going on with COVID. The use of diagnostics that, in my view, are just completely and totally fraudulent, and, you know, drugs like what I call Run Death Is Near or others that are purported to be antivirals that probably cause more death and destruction than the thing that they're being used to treat. And, you know, jabs like, you know, Johnson & Johnson and AstraZeneca have been shown to be so dangerous that they're gone from the market, leaving the mRNA and, you know, maybe self-replicating versions of it as, you know, the game in town to invest in. And so what we're looking at here is yet another money game to set up a cartel or a syndicate to manufacture more products that harm people. And so I'm, you know, personally fighting this with every ounce of my being, because more poison, either swallowed or injected, and tests that are used to convince people that you should swallow or inject the poison, you know, this is, you know, pharmakia. You know, go back to, you know, biblical prophecy. People are going to be deceived by spellbinding witchcraft, you know, confused into believing that swallowing or injecting poison is the pathway to health, or, you know, to prevent or prepare for or respond to the next pandemic. This is how they're going to profit from the next pandemic. And it's, you know, written now. I think they kind of did us a favor, because for the last year, it's been a little bit of a guessing game. What's going to be in the treaty? What's going to be in the amendments? We got an old version. We got a new version. You know, they're still working on it. Well, it's not quite cast in stone, but the ink has dried, at least on my copy. And the process, I think, confuses people. This is not going to come back to your Senate or Parliament or Congress or Knesset or whatever other legislative body you might have. Oh, no, 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 no. The way this operates is, since every nation sent a delegate to the WHO and it was agreed upon very questionably in the manner in which they did it, but it's assumed that every nation is fine with this agreement, unless your head of state writes a letter to the WHO and invokes Article 61, which is the right of every nation to just tell the WHO, no thanks, you know, not for us, we don't want any part of this. And it's a very simple process, very easy to understand. But the political, you know, will to have a leader do that when they might be worried, you know, about their future if they stand up against the beast, it's a difficult task to achieve, even though it's very, you know, simple and plain to comprehend. We need to let our governments know that we do not want to put more money into manufacturing products that harm people.
You know, for people who weren't following what was taking place there last week, it's even worse. As you pointed out, the WHO was mandated to have tabled these amendments 4 months ago, but they broke their own rules in order to continue working on it. They continued working on it right through the entire World Health Assembly, scheduled an extra special session in order to table and get this passed. But I didn't actually watch that session. How was this actually, was there an actual vote on these amendments, or were they simply adopted by fiat, or how did that work?
I will very plainly state that I feel they broke all the rules they possibly could, you know, their own rules. For other decisions that were made, they showed that they know how to properly take a roll call and determine whether or not there's a quorum in the room, which they did not do for this vote. They know that they can, you know, have nations raise their hand and log who voted for what, and they clearly didn't do that. They, you know, late at night, they called everybody into the room and they literally showed somebody pointing and counting by hand. Oh, okay, it looks like we have a quorum. And then essentially they talked about the document, you know, they gave the document number, and then they said, you know, it looks like we're ready to adopt this. Does anyone disagree? And if you watch the whole session prior to when they were dealing with just the amendments, they went through quite a number of agreements or resolutions that they were quote unquote voting on. And when the person said, is there anyone who disagrees? The mic you could hear was brought down so that if someone disagreed, you wouldn't have heard it. Okay, classic technique. Now, whether anyone disagreed or not, you wouldn't know. And then they just go, okay, great. You know, it's been adopted. And so that is the procedure by which they made this happen. And, you know, arguably, it's against their own rules. But, you know, one thing I've learned is that the WHO is a country club. You know, it's literally a club of countries. And if none of the countries raise a stink, the rules are whatever they want the rules to be.
Yeah.
And you know, what they agreed upon is amongst themselves how to spread money around and divert it to pay off what I think is the dog that's wagging the tail. You know, the WHO is the tail that's being wagged by Big Pharma.
Yeah.
And so they served their masters in Big Pharma. Mm-hmm. They worked to craft. I will say the language in this document is very crafty. You know, whether you want to call it spell crafting or word crafting or witch crafting, it's very well crafted to divert money through the WHO into building out Big Pharma in poorer nations, under the guise of, oh, we're just, you know, it's not that they're from the government, but you know the scary words. We're here to help you. Here's your jab. It's the Hegelian dialectic. Let's go look for a problem. Let's devise a way to scare people about that problem. They added a definition for pandemic emergency, which, you know, you're aware of the Public Health Emergency of International Concern, or a fake. Well, the pandemic emergency is kind of just a super fake. If the director general says, oh, there's a public health emergency of international concern, and, you know, I'm going to say this one's really bad, so we'll call it a pandemic emergency. That's really kind of all the criteria that he really needs to have in order to do that. And then the language can be used by the media and everyone else to scare people into making bad decisions about, you know, what they do with their body.
And as we saw with monkeypox, literally the director general can just decide. It doesn't even have to take the advice of his own advisory council. He can just decide, it's a fake. Okay.
And he's the one who decides when it ends.
Exactly.
So, you know, there is a lot in here. There are other aspects of it that I have tried to raise awareness of. Article 31, which is in the existing 2005 regulations, governs international travel. And so the minute you set foot out of the nation that you are a citizen of, you're at the mercy of the officials to wherever you may be traveling. And Article 31, which is not new, right? It's pretty much the same as it was, makes it so that authorities can compel travelers, not in country, but when you leave and go to another country, and not at the behest of the WHO, this is an agreement amongst all of the nations to compel travelers to undergo medical exams, prophylaxis, vaccination, isolation, or quarantine. Well, they added some amendments to Articles 24, 27, 35, and a couple of annexes, strengthening that so that they can also impress upon the conveyance operators, the cruise line, the airline, you know, whatever train or bus line you might be using, to institute the policies of the nation while you're embarking or disembarking. So, you know, if someone on your bus or train or plane or boat is deemed to be hazardous to their fellow travelers, one of the terms that's in the IHR is a suspect. If you're even in the vicinity on the same conveyance as somebody who is deemed to be unwell, you have become a suspect and you're subject to quarantine. And, you know, it's such a blatant violation of fundamental human, you know, individual rights that can be bludgeoned by an expression of national sovereignty. Oh, you're trying to come into our country? You're a suspect. We can do whatever the heck we want to do to you. And it's an abomination that is astonishing. But, you know, in the dark of night when everybody's paying attention to something else, these kinds of things just slide right on there.
Quarantine means the restriction of activities and or separation from others of suspect persons who are not ill or of suspect baggage, containers, conveyances, or goods in such a manner as to prevent the possible spread of infection or contamination. Yeah, beautiful.
To add insult to injury, not in the international health regulations, but in a document that was put forth by the CDC as a final ruling on the very last day, last full day of the Obama administration, just before Trump came into office, they defined an ill person. And there's several criteria, but one of the criteria works out to be, if you're a traveler and you come off of the plane or the cruise boat and you are warm to the touch and you have a headache or a stiff neck, you could be deemed to be an ill person. Well, I can't think of a time that I've ever taken a trip and not felt warm to the touch. That means you're alive and, you know, come out with a stiff neck and a little bit of a headache. But those are the regulations that are on the books in the United States. And you can see how our laws have been corrupted beyond belief.
Yeah. Well, don't worry, guys. The health documents that they are recommending for travelers can be issued in non-digital or digital format. So it's not the necessarily digital vaccine passports that we were dreading, although it could be.
My awareness, I think where you're looking at, my awareness in Annex 6 was raised by somebody who called me on a different topic. And some of the dangerous language that's in there is in regards to guardianship. Now, you know, people understand a parent, you know, has authority over children to make decisions for them. And there are people who are in a state where they're unable to make decisions for themselves, so they legitimately have a guardian. But what was raised is the fact that if you're traveling and you are crazy because you don't want a jab, there is the possibility that a guardian could be appointed to you because you're, you know, unable to make proper decisions because you obviously don't know what's good for you. And so the addition of language in, I believe it was Annex 6, about assigning a guardian to sign off, you know, giving authority to approve a jab, is potentially very frightening. And anybody who's dealt with that type of situation where elderly people in rest homes find, you know, that guardianship has been assigned to them, and then the family is cut out from any kind of decisions, legal guardianship is potentially something that can very, very easily be abused. I don't know how it found its way in here, but there it is, under the, you know, darkness of night, sneaking in to the rules of the game.
Well, the way I read that annex is that this is gives the guardian the ability to sign the certificate that proves the vaccination or prophylaxis has been taken, not a signature that approves the process of giving that to the person. But,
you know, understand, if someone can speak for you and give your consent, you know, and so, you know, legal minds, you know, greater than mine can look at that and determine what they want from it. The point being, you know, what is it that we do? And, you know, my take has always been, if you don't know what it is happening, if you don't know what they're doing, how do you, you know, push back properly? And so I honestly do believe that on a certain level, this has become easier because it was so mysterious and, you know, it could be this, it could be that, it could have been many things. Now we actually have a document that we can push back against and use this in any election season to, you know, identify anyone who's running for office. What are your opinions on this? Are you in support of this? Are you going to push back against it? Now, I'm not saying that Parliament is going to vote on this or Congress is going to vote on this, but now we have something that is no longer in a state of flux. We can see the game that they're playing. They want money. You know, where is the, in the United States, under the Foreign Affairs Manual, one of the obligations is that nothing can be agreed upon until a budgetary analysis has been done by the Office of Management and Budget. How much is this going to cost? It's an open-ended, vague financial document that says, well, nations are going to work to redirect money to build out big pharma in other nations. Is that $1 million? Is that $1 billion? Is that more? And, you know, what are the details here? Because no one was really paying attention, but now we have a concrete document. I just simply encourage people to read it. I always put my phone number out on everything that I do. It's all over my website. If you have any questions, if you want to talk about it, I'm going to be putting forth every ounce of energy that I have to push back against this, to get nations around the world to have their leaders reject it. And since there's at least 10 months in the United States, that brings us into the next administration. Now, I'm politically agnostic, and I'm probably very much in alignment with you, but 10 months from now brings us into the next administration. Pretty sure the Biden administration is not going to reject this. If anybody else ends up being president in 2025, the will of the people needs to be crystal clear that this has got to be rejected. And so with the WHO and the United Nations and all these other globalist organizations that are trying to, you know, take over our lives, this is a rallying point where, you know, do you support this or are you against this? And, you know, I am firmly in the camp of this thing as, you know, hey, hey, ho, ho, the WHO has got to go. And that's the first step in a long battle.
Yeah.
To reclaim our individual rights and freedoms.
Yes, exactly right. So Yes, I get what you're saying. Like, hey, vote harder, guys, this time. That is never my ultimate solution for anything. But I think there are two layers, two levels of what's happening here. There's the surface level of what we do within the framework of this system and how it's operating and the political procedures and all of that. And then I think there's the deeper fundamental underlying level, which is really the point of this at the end of the day. But on that surface level, talk about the... Let's not get into the weeds of all of the details, but yes, countries have 10 months, or is it 18 months to reject these amendments? It depends on how legitimate you think that the 2022 resolution that was supposedly adopted really was. Whatever. Countries have a window of time to reject and or reserve against these amendments, or even specific parts of them, right? And I have heard Slovakia and Costa Rica have already indicated they are going to do that, or if they tabled
well, an actual I have to go back and listen to it again. Costa Rica may have disassociated, the language, you know, it's tricky, may have disassociated themselves from the continuing of the negotiations with the treaty. Slovakia, I can say this with certainty, for the 2022 amendments, very clear, Iran and the Netherlands and Slovakia and New Zealand formally rejected the 2022 fraudulently adopted amendments. So nations can figure this out. Okay. And so if you use the worst case scenario, we have 10 months. You know, so 10 months brings you to about April 1st or so. And so in that 10 months, nations around the world have the opportunity to read these amendments and regulations and see what the rules of the road have been determined. If you like what's in there, well, you know, bless you. Okay. You know, that's wonderful. If you like this kind of totalitarian dictatorial control over your life and you want all kinds of money to go to build out big pharma to make more poisonous drugs and jabs and diagnostics, that's your choice. If you don't want what's in here, you have a couple of choices. You can sit back and take it and just say, well, you know, what are you going to do? Nothing can be done. Or you can stand up and push back and let your opinions be known. That's your responsibility, to stand up for your own rights and freedoms. Is it going to work? Well, it certainly won't if you don't try. And you know, we've seen, you know, a large demonstration in Geneva. We've seen tens, 20, 30,000 people in Japan. There's a lot of people that you could join up with and make those numbers even bigger. And so, you know, what if every one of those, I don't know what the number is, I'll just say 20,000 people in Japan, what if they all told 10 people, okay? You know, in Japan, I get it, 20,000 people, you know, it's a small crowd on a bullet train, okay? But, you know, you can get people to stand up for what it is they believe in. Now, part of what was going on in Japan is also, you know, self-replicating vaccines on the horizon. So there's many things that tie in with this. But really the core that I think has gotten forgotten, even though it's the fundamental core, is all of this is predicated on what right does anybody have to tell you that you have to take a test, and if you fail the test, then you're deemed to be a hazard to other men, women, and children. And your life can be constrained based on BS, based on a fraudulent use of a laboratory procedure that does not determine whether or not you're truly ill. If we don't push back against that, we are doomed. So start pushing back, because that is just fraud and abuse.
Exactly right. Then, okay, so let's move a little layer down, closer towards the core of the issue here. So we've got that top level of the nations can actually reserve against these amendments, and some have signaled that they might or they will, or they're thinking about it, and we've talked about what's happening in Estonia and Slovakia and New Zealand even, and places like that. Okay, great. So there's the national political level and vote harder, guys. The layer below that is gestured to in things like, for example, people may or may not have seen Louisiana and Oklahoma, I believe, have both passed at the state level, state bills in their state legislatures that have wording to the effect of, we will not apply any mandates or rules or regulations from the WHO and the UN and the World Economic Forum. Okay, great. So what I think that gestures to is the fact that all of this agreement, and in fact, the entire WHO process is really based on compliance. And it is compliance that puts the onus back on all of the states, as in nation states, also states within national governments, to actually implement the things that are being said in these agreements. And I think there is the giant low-hanging fruit on this tree is simply a no, we're not going to do this. And I don't care if I didn't jump through the proper legal loopholes to reserve against these amendments in the allotted time, we're just not going to do it. And if there's a big giant FU to the WHO, what are they going to do? Are they going to send in the tanks? Are they going to roll, you know, bombers into Washington and take over? No, of course not. No, it is still ultimately, I think, every nation state, every state, ultimately every municipality's ability to reserve against these. And I think that's getting towards the deepest level of this scam that's being perpetrated. But what do you think about the sort of the states movements and other things that are coming along to try to put a spanner in the works here?
Well, very specifically, the legislation that you mentioned, you know, in Oklahoma and in Louisiana and many, many other states, they're all very different and some are better than others. And some are, you know, it's all good that people are doing something. They're raising their voice. They're saying, you know, not here, not in my hometown, that kind of thing. Locally, I live in Glendale, California, and half hour, 45 minutes from me is Palmdale. And 2+ years ago, they had a small band of activists who made some handmade signs, stuck them in the ground, you know, on ramps to, you know, the freeway, and attracted, you know, several hundred people into their organization. And they browbeat their city council into passing an ordinance that said there shall be no mask or jab mandates in Palmdale, California. Now, Palmdale, California is a little bit conservative, but it's in the heart of Los Angeles County, not the worst place in the world, but way up on the list. And so you can do this on a local level. You can say, not here. We're not having it. There will be no mRNA jabs. There will be no mask mandates. There will be no losing your job because you don't do something to your body that somebody says you have to do, whether that's taking a test. I spoke to a woman a couple of weeks ago who had a friend who got talked into getting tested in order to see her grandchild. And after getting the test with, you know, it's not a swab, it's a sampling of, you know, right next to your brain tissue, she ended up paralyzed because it caused a leak in her brain from something that is deemed to be non-invasive. So these treatments, these tests are not without risk. And it starts with the person in the mirror. When you look at whoever is looking back at you in the mirror and you say, I am going to be the ruler of my own kingdom within this body, and no one gets to tell me, you know, that I have to do something to allay their fear. Okay? This is what this really is. If you want to go get a jab, if you want to take a test, if you want to swallow a poison in pursuit of health, I'd love to convince you otherwise, but that's your choice. You do not get to tell me, regardless of what title you hold or position you've been elected or appointed to, my body, my choice, period, end of story. And when that is ingrained in your body, mind, heart, and soul, then you've started the process. If you can align with a second person, get it to 4, 8, 16, and multiply that out exponentially, you end up with 20,000 people, you know, at a rally in Japan. And if they continue and each one of them gets their friends and their friends, we have the numbers. We just haven't organized ourselves to stand up for our individual bodily autonomy against people who are afraid of invisible boogeymen. You know, invisible pathogens that, since the knowledge of how to care for your own health has been extracted from our schools and removed from, you know, the internet and everywhere else, it's getting harder and harder to understand how to take care of yourself. But that's where it starts. You know, If you think that waking up in the morning and opening up a couple of pill bottles and swallowing some poison because your doctor said that that's what you should do to avoid a problem, you are the problem.
Well, as you say, I'm not going to stop anyone from doing that. If they decide that for them, that is what they want to do for their health, I might say, well, I don't think that's good for you, but I'm not going to stop them from doing that. They have the right to do that. That isn't the problem. The problem is when people do that unthinkingly, when people just follow this is the dictate, so we must do this. No, there is no one who can do that. And that, to me, is the fundamental level of this issue that you just hit on there. That at the very, very, very bottom level of this scam is the scam that we have to go cap in hand to anyone, to any legislature, on any level, for our bodily autonomy, our bodily sovereignty. No, that is my absolute God-given right, and I don't need to ask that permission for that from anyone. And I don't care if 100 quadrillion people agree with me on that, or no one on the planet agrees with me on that. I know that I am an autonomous, sovereign, individual human. I know it deep in the marrow of my bones, from the bottom of the soles of my feet to the top of my head. I know that I am a sovereign individual. And from that base of understanding, yes, then hopefully we can actually build a community around that concept. But until we get to that level of this, I don't think we'll ever solve the problem of the oligarchical takeover that is happening. But, okay, so, if there is a victory from this, because, yes, I agree, I don't think that this passing of these amendments is a victory, because they could have been worse. That seems like a perverse way of putting it. No, this is not a victory, and the pandemic agreement has just been kicked down the road. They're going to start meeting again on it next month. So, presumably, this isn't even over. They're going to keep coming back at this over and over. But if there is a victory from this, to me, it is the moving of the Overton window, where a few years ago, I don't think the concept of exit the WHO could have even, people wouldn't have absolutely no idea what you're talking about. Why would you even care? Now, people at the very least are starting to understand this is an important issue and we should be thinking about this. And I trust that as they become more informed, they will work their way down towards that core issue and start to understand their individual autonomy, their sovereignty. I see that window is moving, and that to me is the win, and we have to push that forward. How on or off base do you think that is?
You mentioned the Overton window, and I trust that people know what that is. But essentially, it's, you know, when something seems impossible, but you work towards it and you say, no, wait a minute, this is possible. Let me go back, 150 years. There was no WHO. You know, whether you believe in creation or evolution and you think humans have been on the planet for thousands of years or hundreds of thousands of years, I think we were doing pretty okay, prior to the onset of the World Health Organization. And I think when they dissolve and they disappear and they're gone, we'll be doing even better. They're a little blip, causing trouble in our growth. Maybe they did some good things. Maybe they got some, pure water to some countries somewhere, and maybe they helped out. But they are fixated on poisoning people because their money comes from the industry that makes money when people are sick. And as long as you understand that the WHO is driven by funding, one of the things they did at this meeting was their general program of work, and they're looking for funding. I say begging for billions. They need money to continue to do what they're doing. And that money comes with strings attached, and those strings are tied to Big Pharma. So everything the WHO does is not for your health. It's for the wealth of their owners and their donors, but they don't call them donors anymore. They're investing in the WHO in order to get a 35-to-1 return, which is what they claim nations get. If you put money into the WHO, the benefits that they're going to provide are going to save you $35 for every dollar of investment. It's a scam. They spend money on salaries. They had 9,000 plus employees earn $130,000 a year. James, how much do you think, this is a rhetorical question, don't even try to answer it, how much money do you think that this assembly for a week, people flying in from 190 plus nations, to spend a week in Geneva, right, expensive, what was the carbon footprint of this, you know, discussion that they had all week long? And at the same time, one of their goals is to have, you know, carbon neutral healthcare. How carbon neutral was this event? They're hypocrites beyond belief. And we need to call that out every time we see it. And what happens is when you're the lone voice in, you know, the crowd, and you're being shouted down by other people, but you keep at it and you keep at it. At some point, if you're speaking the truth, it will resonate with another person and they'll speak their truth. And that will resonate with another person. It's like the story of, you know, the doubling penny. Would you rather have, you know, a penny that doubles every day for a month or $1 million or, you know, any such exponential growth? It starts with one, it multiplies, and then at the end of it, you see large crowds of people and you go, well, who did that? Well, we all do that by doing what little piece we can do. Last analogy, if you've ever seen a flood that, you know, swamps over a dam and, you know, the dam breaks and the water goes rushing through, that flood water all started with a bunch of little raindrops up in the clouds going, oh, I wonder if I should stay up in the clouds or fall down to earth and participate in this flood of truth. So if you are just a little raindrop and you have your little bit of truth to speak to whatever audience you have, speak it. Don't hold it in. Let it out. And you will be a participant in changing the future at whatever level you can do. And you'll be surprised how much you can do if you stick with it.
That's a beautiful analogy. Oh, it's just one little raindrop. That's not going to wet anything. Well, there's a billion more coming. You just wait. Yeah, excellent. And in fact, you raise another good point there. Yes, the carbon neutral healthcare initiative. And yeah, for people who don't know, yes, there was also a climate change and health resolution that they adopted, which again goes back to the same scam. It calls on state parties to commit to funding, blah, blah, blah. So yes, again, it's the nation states themselves that comply or don't comply with this. And
I mean, I don't know about you, James, but when I wake up in the morning, the first thing that I'm concerned about is that, you know, I might suffer from a disease that was caused by climate change. That's my top priority. I'm right in alignment with the WHO, and I'm obviously being facetious. That's absurd.
Yeah, I did find it interesting they have that part in there talking about 5% of global carbon emissions come from the health industry, health systems. I mean, it's so weird. But anyway, there it is. And that does raise the point. I'm linking to the whole documents page. Yes, the International Health Regulation amendments are worth your time and attention, but there's a lot of other documents and resolutions that they were adopting there that are worth plowing into. And I've only gone into the climate change one myself. So lots and lots of material there. I think that's going to do it for this conversation. I think the path forward is essentially the path we've been treading and heading in the same direction, which is, again, back towards the claiming our individual sovereignty and doing that in, hopefully, a community system where we can build and support each other against whatever mandates, whatever presumed authorities think that they can put down on our heads. But is there anything else you'd like to say before we wrap up?
No, James, thanks for doing what you're doing. Keep doing it. And thanks for having me. I appreciate it. And, you know, anybody, just don't listen to what people say. You know, read the documents, understand what they are, make up your own mind, and then go find allies who share your opinions. If you think you can convince people who do not want to listen, if you think that spending your time doing that is valid, by all means, try. But, you know, it's far more important to just have conversations, identify people who share your opinions, base those opinions on facts all the time. But if you find someone who shares that passion, let it loose, let it out, share it with the world, because your silence is viewed as consent, and that is not acceptable.
That's it. How can people find your work? How can people contact you?
Well, the hard part is spelling my name. So jamesroguski.substack.com, jamesroguski.substack.com. And people are welcome to call me. My phone number in the United States and California is 310-619-3055. I have found that, you know, people who don't question, are unable to think for themselves, they don't have any questions, so they don't call me. people who have questions are self-identified as still thinking. They're still, you know, trying to make the world a better place. And I look forward to, you know, talking to anybody who's still, you know, trying to make the world better. So by all means, reach out and be happy to talk to you.
Excellent. Okay, we're going to leave it there for today, but I'm sure we'll have more to talk about in the future. James Roguski, thank you for your time.
Thank you.